بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى سد: يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا يسخر قوم من قوم عسى أن يكونوا خيرا منهم، ولا نساء من نساء عسى أن يكون خيرا منهن. Oh, you believe, let not a group scoff at another group. It may be that the latter are better than the former. Nor let some woman scoff at other woman. It may be that the latter are better than the former. Nor defame one another, nor insult one another by nicknames. The scoffing or belittling and mocking, all of this is forbidden. It is known that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made people in this life on different levels. On different levels. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated, in Surah Al-Zukhruf, verse 32, أَهُمْ يَقْسِمُونَ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّكَ نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًّا. In Surah Al-Zukhruf, verse 32. So this will be 43:32. Or is it they who would portion out the mercy of your Lord? Yes. It is we who portion out between them their livelihood in this world, and we raised some of them above others in ranks. And we raised some of them above others in ranks, so that some may employ others in their work. So that some may employ others in their work. So, people are on different ranks, some higher than others, raised above others. The purpose, so that some may employ others for achieving benefits. And here, it is not intended as a mockery, but rather showing that this kind of employment is for the benefit of mankind. And also this is stated in another verse. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Isra, chapter 17 verse 21, انظر كيف فضلنا بعضهم على بعض وللآخرة أكبر درجات وأكبر تفضيلا. See how we prefer one above another in this world, and verily the hereafter will be greater in degrees and greater in preference. So therefore, this is affirmed, this kind of reference between people. They are preferred in terms of knowledge. Some are raised higher than others in terms of knowledge. Some are higher in terms of the legal knowledge, the Sharia knowledge, and in the knowledge that leads to the Sharia, like the knowledge of tools, the Arabic language, for example, from the grammar and eloquency, etc. Also, they are preferred over one another in terms of sustenance. Some have more sustenance than others. And also, they are preferred over one another in terms of character and morality. Some of higher levels than others in this respect. And also in terms of their forms. And they also are preferred over one another in terms of lineage. So, is it because of this then they are allowed to belittle each other and to have mockery and disrespect of each other? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated this, O who you believe, let not a group, يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا يسخر قوم من قوم, let not a group scoff at another group. It may be that the latter are better than the former, nor let some women scoff at other women. It may be that the latter are better than the former. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses us with the description of iman and forbids us to scoff at one another. Because the one who made the preference is Allah. Remember this. Because the one who made the preference is Allah, as he stated here. And we raised some of them above others in ranks. And see how we prefer one above another in this world. And verily, the hereafter will be greater in degrees and greater in preference. So therefore, since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who raised some above others, and he is the one who made this preference, this entails that scoffing at this person or that person who is lesser in rank than you, then in this case you are scoffing against the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal and his preordainment. So why should you then scoff at this person who is lesser than you in knowledge or in wealth or in character or in form or in lineage? Why? Isn't the one who gave you this preference is Allah, whom he subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give the other? And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in this verse, عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ. عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ. It may be that the latter are better than the former. So it may be the one who is scoffing today will be scoffed at tomorrow. And the one who is of a lesser rank, maybe we will be of the higher rank tomorrow. And this is something witnessed. And there are some reports, although they are weak, but the meaning, anyone who defames his brother concerning his sin will not die until he commits the same sin. This is reported by At-Tirmidhi, and it is, as Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah said, it is actually fabricated. And also in some reports, don't make or scoff at your brother or belittle him, lest Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests you and puts you under perfection, under tribulation, and give him, the one you're scoffing at, give him good health, give him good status, give him good welfare. This is in meaning the report. As we said, it is weak. Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah considered it as such in Da'if al-Jami'. But the meaning in general is that it is possible that today you may be scoffing, while tomorrow you may be scoffed at. And so therefore the person must have and take and assume the etiquette that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and should not scoff at others, because it may be that they will be better or they are better than him. And also, Allah stated specifically the woman here when He said, "Nor let some woman scoff at other women." وَلَنِسَاءٌ مِّن نِسَاءٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُنْ. And so he detailed concerning the woman and the men in details here, lest someone say, well, this is particular to men, if the men were mentioned alone. Or someone says, well, this is particular to women, if the women were mentioned alone. So therefore, from this we understand the difference between the term al-qawm, the group, and an-nisa, woman. If they come together in the statement, al-qawm, the group, and an-nisa, if they come, and woman, if they come, then al-qawm would refer to the men. An-nisa will be the female. But if al-qawm, the group, is mentioned alone, then it will include both men and women. Like, for example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions sending the messengers to their people. So this includes both men and women. So, on the other hand, if the two terms are mentioned, then the woman will be the female and al-qawm will be the male. The group will be the male. Now, this etiquette, let not a group scoff at another, is general, meaning it applies to all the ummah. And by all means, the seeker of knowledge must be the first to comply regarding this etiquette and avoid this prohibition, because he is responsible from two angles. First, that he is one of the legally responsible individuals like the rest. Second, that he is an example. Any action he will take, people will follow and take him as a proof or evidence. So if the seeker of knowledge is the one who scoffs at the scholars, then this is a real problem. What is incumbent upon the person is that if he differs with someone, to try to find an excuse for him, then get in communication with this person and discuss it with him, because the truth may be with the one who disagrees with him. And so therefore he discusses with him out of respect and in a quiet way, so that the truth becomes clear. But if he resorts to scoffing at the person who disagrees with his opinion or the opinion of his sheikh, then this is wrong. And anyone who disagrees with your saying, then it's incumbent upon you to take that in a good way and think that this is his ijtihad. This is the conclusion of him exerting the effort to reach an understanding, and that Allah Azza wa Jal will reward him upon his ijtihad if he is wrong. But if he is correct, then he will be rewarded twice. Then you communicate with him, get in touch with him, and don't be shy. It may be that the truth will be with you, so they will have a favor upon this man. And it may be that the truth is with him, and so he will have a favor upon you. As to scoffing, then this is not from the etiquettes of the seeker of knowledge, nor it is from the etiquette of the believer with his brother. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated nor defame one another. ولا تلمزوا أنفسكم. Defame one another. You say that this person is dumb, this one is tall, this one is short, this one is black, this one is red, and so forth, where it is considered to be defaming. And so the term, the statement, ولا تلمزوا أنفسكم, it's interpreted in two ways. The first way, don't defame one another or each other. This is because each one of us is like the other. Your brother is like you. If you defame him, it is like you are defaming yourself. This is one interpretation. The second interpretation is that don't defame him, don't defame your brother, because if you do so, then in this case, it will be a cause for him to defame you. And thus, you will be the one who defamed yourself to begin with. And this is in line with the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ لَعَنَ وَالِدَيْهِ. The curse of Allah be on the person who curses his parents. So they, the companions radiallahu anhum, said, O Messenger of Allah, how could it be that a person curses his parents? He said, he curses the father of another, then the other insults his father, and he insults the mother of another person, and the other will insult his mother. So therefore he will be cause for insulting his own father and his own mother. Nevertheless, this ayah therefore forbids defaming the believers one another. And therefore it is forbidden for the person to defame his brother, either in his character or in his creational form, because in this case it will be attributing defect to his creator, Allah Azza wa Jal. Because the one who created man is Allah, the most mighty and most majestic. And the one who has made him on such and such form or description is Allah Azza wa Jal. And the person cannot complete his own creation such that the short becomes tall and the opposite, or the ugly becomes beautiful and the opposite. So therefore, if you insult a person and defame him concerning his creation, in his form, then in this case you defame the creator in reality. And that's why if we see a built wall inclined, it's not up, straight up, but it is inclined to the side, and then we defame this wall, then in reality we are defaming the one who built it. And thus if you defame a person in his creation and form, in his, the form he's created upon, then it is as if you are defaming and attributing defect to the Creator Azza wa Jal. So the matter is dangerous. As to defaming a person in terms of his morality or his character, like if this person gets angry easily and Avengers in a severe way, bad tongue, etc., don't defame him. It may be that if you do so, Allah may test you with the same defect. But if you find in his character something wrong, then the duty is to give him advice, to get in touch with him if the communications are possible, and make it clear to him this kind of defect. Or you may write him in your name or in the name of some admonisher to him, saying this is a general admonition or something like that. So this will be a nasiha, an advice to him. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also in this verse said, nor insult one another by nicknames. وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. So don't insult one another. You say, for example, to the person, يَا فَاسِقْ أو فَاسِقْ, يَا فَاجِرْ أو wicked, يَا كَافِرْ, يَا شَارِبْ الْخَمْرْ أو one who drinks the alcoholic beverages, يَا سَارِقْ أو thief, يَا زَانِي, you adulterer. Don't do that, because if you do so, insult him, then either that this is in him, or it may be not in him, meaning the thing that you are naming as an insult. So if it is in him, then in this case you had committed, or you have committed the prohibition in this verse. And if it is not in him, then you had slandered him by giving him a false accusation, and therefore again you will be committing the prohibition. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated, بِئْسَ الْإِسْمُ الْفُسُوقُ بَعْدَ الْإِيمَانِ. بِئْسَ الْإِسْمُ الْفُسُوقُ بَعْدَ الْإِيمَانِ. How bad is it to insult one's brother after having faith? After having faith. So, how bad is it that you take the person from the quality of Iman to a description of Fusuq, like, oh, sinner, oh, fasiq, etc.? So therefore, if you do that which Allah forbade, then you become fasaqa, fasiqs. Because if the person commits one major sin, then he becomes a fasiq. And if he commits a minor sin and repeats it and insists upon it, then he also becomes a fasiq. So don't make yourself after faith, and you know, don't turn to be a fasiq. This is the meaning of this verse, بِئْسَ الْإِسْمُ الْفُسُوقُ بَعْدَ الْإِيمَانِ. How bad is it to insult one another after having faith? So therefore we learn from this verse the tahrim of scoffing, that scoffing is haram, and also the prohibition to defame one another and to insult one another, and that anyone who does this, then he is a fasiq after being a believer. And fisq is not a description of the tongue only, but rather there are rulings that apply upon the fasiq. From that is, it is not valid for a fasiq to be a wali upon his daughter, a guardian for his daughter. So in this case, the one who gives her in marriage is the one who is valid wali, guardian from her relatives, other than her father, who may be a fasiq. And if she doesn't have relatives, or they fear her father if they step in to give her in marriage, then in this case the judge will give her in marriage. Fasiq. And also the fasiq's testimony is not accepted. It's not accepted because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we stated in the verses before, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنْ جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. Or you believe if a fasiq brings you news, then verify it. And verify it. So if he goes to the judge to testify, the judge can say to him, we don't accept you because you are a fasiq. Also the fasiq is not fit to be an imam to lead the people in salah. And the one whose fisq is apparent, the ulama say also that the adhan is not valid from him. All of these matters the ulama had spoken about, rahimahullah, although there may be some difference of opinion regarding some of them. So therefore the point, however, is to be made here that the term fasiq is not something easy for a person to say, therefore. And that's why Allah considered this to be blameworthy. He said, بِئْسَ الْإِسْمُ الْفُسُوقُ. How bad is it? Or it is. After faith. After being on faith, then become a fasiq. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. And whoever does not repent, then such are indeed the polytheists, the oppressors, the wrongdoers, etc. Meaning the one who does these three things, what are they? First, scoffing. Second, defaming. And third, insulting one another by nicknames. And those who don't repent from this, they are indeed the zalimeen. So the one who does not repent is a zalim, oppressor. And the Prophet ﷺ said concerning a dhulm, he described it as dhulumatun yawm al-qiyamah. It will be darkness on the day of resurrection. And these people will not have light in front of them proceeding, as is the case with the believers, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described on the day of resurrection in Surah Al-Hadid, verse 12, 57:12. يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَسْعَى نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ بُشْرَاكُمُ الْيَوْمَ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. 57:12. On the day you shall see the believing men and the believing women, their light running forward before them and by their right hands. Glad tidings for you this day, gardens under which rivers flow, to dwell therein forever. Truly this is the great success. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His bounty. So those transgressors, those oppressors will not have a nur. So therefore they will not have a light. And therefore, one should be careful as to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids. So now if someone says, what is the meaning of tawbah? What is the meaning of tawbah? Repentance. And the meaning is that the person transforms himself, changes from the state of disobedience to obedience. This is from the slave. This is from the slave. And the tawbah from Allah is that Allah accepts from the slave his repentance, and so he changes his bad deeds into good deeds. This is the meaning of tawbah. The tawbah from the anger of the slave, and the tawbah with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is that clear? The evidence for this is قال الله تبارك وتعالى والذين لا يدعون مع الله إلها آخر ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ولا يزنون. ومن يفعل ذلك يلقى أثاما. من سورة الفرقان 25-70 or before 68-70. والذين لا يدعون مع الله إلها آخر ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ولا يزنون ومن يفعل ذلك يلقى أثاما يضاعف له العذاب يوم القيامة ويخلد فيه مهانا إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا فأولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما. Except those who repent. Except those who repent. والذين لا يدعون مع الله إلها آخر. 68-70. And those who don't invoke with Allah and those who invoke not any other ilah, God, along with Allah, nor kill such life as Allah has forbidden, except for just cause, nor commit illegal sexual intercourse, and whoever does this shall receive punishment. The torment will be doubled to him on the day of resurrection. And he will abide therein in this grace, except those who repent and believe and do righteous deeds, for those Allah will change their sins into good deeds, and Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. And also Tawbah may be mentioned in the sense that it refers to the success which Allah gives the slave to make repentance, meaning He guides him to make repentance. And therefore, Allah's repentance is twofold. Allah's repentance is twofold. Tawbah, meaning the success to the slave to make tawbah. This is the first thing. Tawbah, meaning bestowing success on the slave to make tawbah. Is that clear? This is one. The second, tawbah, meaning accepting the tawbah of the slave. Accepting his tawbah after he makes tawbah. You understand? Clear? The evidence for this is in Surah At-Tawbah 9:118. وعلى الثلاثة الذين خلفوا حتى إذا ضاقت عليهم الأرض بما رحبت وضاقت عليهم أنفسهم وظنوا أن لا ملجأ من الله إلا إليه ثم تاب عليهم ليتوبوا. And he did forgive also the three who did not join the Tabuk expedition till for them the earth was vast as it is, was straitened, and their own selves were straitened to them, and they perceived that there is no fleeing from Allah, and no refuge with Him but with Him. Then He guided them to repentance. You understand? ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Then He guided them to repentance, that they may repent. Verily is the one who Allah is the one who accepts repentance. You understand this? Read with me, please. Read there. Then He guided them to repentance, that they may repent unto Him. that they may repent unto him. So therefore, from this again, the repentance is from Allah, comes in two ways. First, guiding, giving success to the believer to make tawbah. Second, meaning that Allah, the second thing is that Allah accepts the tawbah, to accept his tawbah, after leading him to make it. As to the acceptance of the tawbah, this is evident in many verses. Take for example Surah Ash-Shura 42:15. قال الله عز وجل وهو الذي يقبل التوبة. This is concerning accepting the توبة. وهو الذي يقبل التوبة عن عباده ويعفو عن السيئات. It could be 25 instead. 42:25. Now, and he it is who accepts repentance from his slaves and forgives sins, and he knows what you do. The tawbah of the slave requires conditions. There are conditions to it. It is not like every tawbah is accepted. And it's not the case that every person who says, Ana ta'ib, I repented, that he is, in fact, one who did so. Rather, there are shurut, conditions. And the first condition is sincerity, by making the tawbah sincere to Allah. Meaning, nothing is driving him to make the tawbah except that he seeks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not driven by having fear from his father, or from his elder brother, or fear from authority, or he repents just to be said, oh, this man is upright, this man is straight. No. Ikhlas lillah, sincerity to Allah in tawbah, the driving force for the tawbah is seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and reaching and aiming for his honor. And we know that the ikhlas is a condition in each ibadah. It's a condition for each ibadah, for each act of worship. So the first condition is al-ikhlasu lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second condition is regretting what the person had done from the sins. The person regrets and feels sorry, and becomes distressed regarding this action, and he is shameful, you know, that he did this. He feels shame from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he had committed such an action. This is the second condition. The third condition is to cease immediately doing the sin. Immediately. Must stop. So for example, if the sin is in the form of abandoning a wajib, an obligation, then he ceases, stops, and tries to accomplish as much as he can from it. Or goes for a substitute, if there is a substitute for the wajib, if he couldn't attain making it. And also to stop from continuing in the haram, if the action is committing haram. And if the sin is relevant to a right of a person, like for example someone stealing money from another person, and theft is haram, and the person who made the theft repents and regrets and makes the determination not to return, then it's a must upon him to return the wealth, to the money, to its owner. And the tawbah is not fulfilled except by this. The tawbah is not fulfilled except when he returns the money as well. But suppose now he says, well, I fear if I go to this person and give him the money, then there will be harm upon me. There could be harm upon me and upon my reputation, and maybe also I may go to jail. And it may be that the person claims that the stolen amount is greater. And I have repented before he was able to get hold of me. So what is the solution regarding this situation? Is it permissible for him to give this money as sadaqah on behalf of its owner? The answer, no. It's not permissible, because the owner is known. Had the owner been unknown, like for example, if he stole from people and he forgot who were they, or didn't know, and he doesn't know where they are. In this case, he gives that in charity, the amount he stole, on their behalf. But if the person, the owner, is known, then it's a must that he returns it to him. And he may do it in such a way, like for example, give it to some trustworthy person, and he says, look, I stole this money from such and such person, and I regret that, and I made repentance to Allah, so please give him this money and tell him this is a money which you deserve from a person. However, this is conditional still, that this person whom you may delegate, or the person who is delegated to return the money, he must be also trustworthy in the eyes of the owner. Otherwise, the owner may accuse him himself. He accused this delegate or this representative that he is the one who stole the money. And he also may claim that the amount is greater. So therefore, he must be also reliable and trustworthy in the eyes of the holder, in the eyes of the owner. And if this is not possible, then it may be sent by mail, for example, and with a note that this is the money from a person, this money is yours, it's your right. And in this case, you may not end up writing your name, and it's also good that you don't write it with your own handwriting, because he may be able to know your handwriting, for example, one day. This is all of this if the right is financial. But if the right for others is not financial, like in the case someone whom you committed backbiting regarding him in a majlis, in a circle, or more than one circle in front of people. So in this sense, how one is to repent regarding this ghiba? Many of the ulama, the scholars, rahimahumullah, said it's a must that the person goes to him and asks him forgiveness. Otherwise, he will take from this person's deeds, good deeds on the day of resurrection. So go to him and say, please forgive me. This is the opinion by many of the scholars. Another opinion by some of the scholars is that it is not a must to ask his forgiveness. Rather, you make istighfar for him and praise him in the same circles where you made the backbiting of him. And the good deeds will remove the bad deeds. And there came in the hadith the expiation of the one who you made backbiting of him is to ask forgiveness for him. this hadith is reported by Ibn Abi Dunya and by Al-Bayhaqi fi Shu'ab al-Iman and Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi. The third saying, and this is the medium opinion, and it may be the one which is correct, is that if this person whom you made the backbiting of, he knew that you did, then in this case it's inevitable that you should go and ask forgiveness from him, because what's in his heart now will not be removed until you do so. But in case he didn't know, then sufficient for you to make istighfar for him, and you praise him in the same majalis where you committed the backbiting of him. And Allah is of forgiving, most merciful. And also it should be that a person should accept the repentance and seeking of forgiveness from the one who made backbiting of him, and should not go into discussions and so forth about it, because he may remember something which could be of a magnitude, and it will be difficult for him to give forgiveness for this person. That is because the self incites that which is evil. So it is better that he should not ask and should anticipate the reward with Allah Azza wa Jal, and says, well, this man came asking forgiveness, and whoever forgives, then his ajr, his reward is with Allah. And he hopes that in the future this backbiting may be turned into good praise of him. And this detailed opinion now, this third one, is the choice of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, and it is the truth, as our Shaykh rahimahullah mentioned, meaning that if the person knew of your backbiting of him, then it's inevitable that you go to him and ask forgiveness, so that whatever in his heart is removed. But if he didn't know, then there is no need to go to ask him forgiveness. This is concerning the one who makes backbiting of others. What about if the one who was spoken ill of and is requested to forgive? Our Shaykh rahimahullah said, what we see that the best thing and the most perfect thing to do is to, yes, to offer the forgiveness, because he is his brother who came to him apologizing, regretting, seeking forgiveness. And one should be confident that if he gives him forgiveness, then it will be a great thing upon the person who made the mistake, and he will feel that he had offered him a great gift, and in this way the hate may turn into love and harmony. And this is what is required from the Muslims with respect to each other, that they should have love and harmony amongst themselves. The fourth condition is to make the determination not to return in the future to commit the sin. Meaning, he should have in himself the determination, a firm determination, that he should not return to this sin in the future. But if he repents while saying, well, maybe it may that I may commit this sin in the future, this is incorrect. His tawbah rather is invalid, because it's a must that the person makes the determination not to return to the sin in the future. So this is the fourth condition to make the determination not to return in the future to do the same sin. The fifth condition is that the tawbah should take place in its prescribed time, where it is accepted. Because there is a time when the door of repentance is closed and it will not be accepted from the person. And this door is general and particular one. As to the general, it is the rising of the sun. This is the time of rising of the sun from the west. So there will come a time where the sun rises from the west, and the one who makes it do so is Allah Azza wa Jal, before the creation will gather all together to make it do otherwise, they wouldn't. But Allah is the one who commands it to do so. And He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He stated about Himself subhanahu wa ta'ala in many places in the Quran, as for example in Surah Yasin 36:82 concerning His commands. إذا إنما أمره إذا أراد شيئا أن يقول له كن فيكون. Verily His command when He intends a thing is only that He says to it be and it is. So this great sun will return, will rise from the west. And when that happens, everyone who is on the face of the earth, Jews, Christians, Buddhists, communists, others, all of them will believe. All of them will believe because they will see something clear in itself as a proof, very clear proof for the existence of Allah Azza wa Jal, the Lord of creation. But at this point, their faith will not benefit them. Having faith in Allah at this moment will not benefit them, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that clear in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 158. هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَوْ يَأْتِيَ رَبُّكَ أو يأتي بعض آيات ربك. يوم يأتي بعض آيات ربك لا ينفع نفسا إيمانها لم تكن آمنت من قبل أو كسبت في إيمانها خيرا. Do they then wait for anything other than that the angels should come to them, or that your Lord should come, or that some of the signs of your Lord should come? This is the example, the rising of the sun from the west. The day that some of the signs of your Lord do come, no good will it do to a person to believe then, if he believed not before, nor earn good by performing deeds of righteousness through his faith. Say, wait, you, we too are waiting. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interpreted the saying of Allah in this verse, يَوْمَ يَأْتِي بَعْضُ آيَاتِ رَبِّكَ, or that some of the signs of your Lord should come. He said, إِنَّهُ وَأَنَّهُ خُرُوجُ الشَّمْسِ مِنْ مَغْرِبِهَا, the sun rising from its west, from the sun setting place. In this case, there will be no benefit of tawbah. It's not beneficial. Although all people will believe, but that will be of no benefit, because the door is shut, is closed. And if it's closed, no one can enter. This is the general. As to the particular, is that when the person examines death, his time of life ends. When this occurs, again, the benefit, there will be no benefit of tawbah, of repentance. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated this clearly in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 18. وَلَيْسَتِ التَّوْبَةُ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ حتى إذا حضر أحدهم الموت قال إني تبت الآن. And of no effect is the repentance of those who continue to do evil deeds until death faces one of them. And he says, now I repent, nor of those who die while they are disbelievers. For them we have prepared a painful torment. We seek refuge in Allah from this. And no one, if we ask this question, no one of us knows when he or she will die. No. The person may die while at his office, or on his bed, or while praying, anytime. And if we know this and we are certain about it, then the obligation is to hasten for tawbah, lest we will suddenly face the death and the door will be closed. And that's why the tawbah is from the things that are obligated to be done immediately. And so we should really seek the tawbah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This verse, and of no effect is the repentance of those, وليست التوبة للذين يعملون السيئات حتى إذا حضر أحدهم الموت قال إني تبت الآن. And of no effect is the repentance of those who continue to do evil deeds until death faces one of them. And he says, now I repent. This news from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has an incident, or there is an incident which indicates it, when the drowning of Fir'aun and his people took place. And he, when he mentioned his belief at the time of drowning, he said, as in Surah Yunus, chapter 10, verses 90 and 91, وجاوزنا ببني إسرائيل البحر فأتبعهم فرعون وجنوده بغيا وعدوى حتى إذا أدركه الغرق قال آمنت أنه لا إله إلا الذي آمنت به بنو إسرائيل وأنا من المسلمين. And we took the children of Israel across the sea, and Fir'aun with his hosts followed them in oppression and enmity, till when drowning overtook him, he said, I believe that la ilaha illahu, none has the right to be worshipped but he, Allah, he in whom the children of Israel believe, and I am one of the Muslims, those who submit to Allah's will. So it was said to him, Al-an, now you believe. Al-an, وَقَدْ عَصَيْتَ قَبْلُ وَكُنْتَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. Now you believe while you refused to believe before, and you were of the mufsidin, the evildoers, the corrupts. Why didn't you then believe before? So his repentance was not accepted, وَلَيَّذُ بِاللَّهِ. And it should be known to every believer that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greatly pleased in a way which man cannot comprehend at all, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning the believer when he repents. And this is evident in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which came in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. لَاللَّهُ أَشَدُّ فَرْحًا بِتَوْبَةِ أَحَدِكُمْ أو قال بتوبة عبده من أحدكم براحلته كان عليه طعامه وشرابه فأضله فطلبها فلم يجدها فنام تحت شجرة ينتظر الموت فبينما هو كذلك إذا بناقته متعلقا زمامها بالشجرة فأخذ الزمام فقال اللهم أنت عبدي وأنا ربك. يريد أن يقول اللهم أنت ربي وأنا عبدك، لكنه أخطأ من شدة الفرح. And this hadith of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, and he related to us two narrations, one from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and the other from himself, saying a believer sees his sins
as if he were sitting under a mountain which he is afraid may fall on him, whereas the wicked person considers his sins as flies passing over his nose, and he just drives away like this. And Abu Shihab, the sub-narrator, moved his hand over his nose in illustration. And Ibn Mas'ud added, Allah's Messenger ﷺ said, Allah is more pleased with the repentance of his slave than a man who encamps at a place where his life is jeopardized, but he has his riding beast, the camel, carrying his food and water. He then rests his head and sleeps for a short while, and wakes to find his riding beast gone. This is like his death now, waiting to die. He starts looking for it and suffers from severe heat and thirst, or what Allah wished him to suffer from. He then says, I will go back to my place. He returns and sleeps again, waiting for death. And then getting up, he raises his head to find his riding beast standing beside him. And upon that, he said, Allahumma anta abdi, O Allah, you are my slave and I am your Lord. He intended to say, Allahumma anta rabbi, O Allah, you are my Lord and I am your slave. لكنه أخطأ من شدة الفرح. But he made a mistake because of the great happiness and pleasure he was in. And is there a greater pleasure than this? This is, when he was about to be destroyed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more pleased than the pleasure of this man concerning his riding mount. This brings the end of the discussion of this verse 11 from Surah Al-Hujurat. أسأل الله عز وجل to make it a benefit for me and for all of you. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. And I ask Allah the Most High to bestow upon our Shaykh his mercy and to forgive him and to raise him in Al-Firdaus Al-A'la. إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه وإنه والجواد الكريم. والحمد لله الذي بنعمته تتم الصالحات. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.